This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 232 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. The NFL Draft is this month, so over the next 3 weeks, I'll be doing shows about quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers with a guest who's good at analyzing those positions. And it's all to get you ready and prepared for the big event, not just for when you watch the draft, but for when you get ready to manage your fantasy football teams. Today's show is on the quarterback position, and I've invited back Jim Sonnes, who did this exact episode last year. Jim does a quarterback study on NumberFire.com each year, and he's had pretty good success doing it. So I thought it'd be a good idea to talk to Jim about that study, see where he has these quarterbacks ranked this season, and pick his brain about passers he sees as overvalued and undervalued. Before getting to the interview, I wanted to let you know that with the biggest weekend in golf coming up, FanDuel is offering its Mega Eagle contest with $1 million in prizes. You make your typical golf lineup, but if Tiger Woods ends up winning, you get your entry fee back. You don't even need to have Tiger in your lineup to get your money back. If he wins, you play for free. For more info on the Mega Eagle, visit FanDuel.com or download the app today. Eligibility restrictions apply. So Jim, you did your yearly article on NumberFire called Which Quarterbacks in the 2019 NFL Draft Class is Statistically Superior? Now, we'll get into some of those results from the study in a minute, but can you describe what the article in that study is all about?
Yeah, I think to me, it's just trying to look at the stats behind quarterbacks coming in this draft class, because although this may seem a little bit weird, stats do matter for college quarterbacks, specifically ones who are first-round picks, because draft stock does matter a lot. Like, if a guy has an awesome adjusted yards per attempt, but is a seventh-round pick, probably not going to succeed. But if you look from 2000 to 2017, there were 48 quarterbacks who were taken in the first round, and 31 of those 48 had at least one top 15 season based on NumberFire's total net expected points. So basically a top 15 quarterback at least once during their career. Those 31 quarterbacks, their average final year adjusted yards per attempt in college was 9.1. And the 17 guys who never had a top 15 finish, their final year average adjusted yards per attempt was 8.0. So pretty big gap there. Their passing efficiency rating in college was also 11 points lower on average for the guys who never made it. So you can get a pretty good read on which quarterbacks are good just by looking at their college stats. If you're good in college, you might be good in the pros too. Weird to think about that. But you have to mix in experience, their age, and all that stuff too. But in general, stats are something you can look at when you're looking at, when you're taking draft stock into account. So I think that it's something that you do need to have a lot of caveats to, but you can learn quite a bit by looking at what these guys did in college.
Yeah, so one quarterback who did a lot in college was Kyler Murray. He's getting a lot of hype right now as the best quarterback in this year's class. Do the numbers agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, he was awesome. Like, he set records, literally set records. He set the NCAA record for adjusted yards per attempt in a single season at 13.0, which was previously held by the same guy at his same school last year in Baker Mayfield, who seems to be working out pretty okay. And that doesn't even factor in how good he is as a rusher. And we've seen what Kyler Murray can do with his legs. And, you know, quarterbacks rushing the NFL is kind of like a cheat code from an efficiency perspective. Like, they're crazy efficient when they rush. So having that just kind of boosts Kyler Murray's appeal when he can be that efficient as a passer and be a good rusher, too. I think the one concern for Kyler Murray is experience, because if we look at first-round picks since 2000, only Mitchell Trubisky and Mark Sanchez have had fewer than 20 games in college with at least 10 pass attempts. And Murray is at 19 there. So he does still have more experience than Dwayne Haskins, and we'll talk about that later on too. But and Murray was crazy good when he did play, but there is at least some degree of risk with Murray because the sample size on him in college is a little bit smaller than for other guys.
Yeah, so you mentioned Baker Mayfield. He was part of last year's class, which was objectively a pretty good class. So how does Kyler Murray stack up to last year's class, maybe even specifically Baker Mayfield, which I should add to the audience. Now, if you guys listened to this podcast last year, you would know this, but Jim did have Baker Mayfield as the number one quarterback last year as well. So how does Kyler stack up to Baker and the draft class from last year overall?
So I think if I were doing like personal rankings, combining last year's class with this year's class, Baker would be one by a pretty wide margin still, but Kyler would be two, and he'd be number two in that ranking. And I like Kyler a lot, and his single-season raw stats were on par with Baker's, yet in the rushing, that's awesome, but there are a couple of reasons I would have Murray in a tier below Baker. The experience is a big thing. Baker played 29 more games than Kyler Murray in college and is only 1 year older than him coming out. So we talk about Baker's age as being a detriment, but he's only coming out. He was 1 year older than Kyler Murray is right now. Baker also played 7 games against teams ranked in the top 50 in S&P Plus, which is on Football Outsiders. Kind of just gives you total pass defense efficiency. Murray had 5, and that's a decent little split there because Baker, almost half his pass attempts, 49.5%, were against top 50 pass defenses, which makes his numbers look even better. Whereas for Kyler Murray, it was 39.8%, so still not a terrible number, but definitely more for Baker. Baker was better against those top 50 pass defenses. His AYA there was 13.5. Kyler was 12.2. So I like Kyler Murray, and I think he is a very good prospect. But in the years I've been doing this, Baker is the best prospect I've ever seen. So while I don't have him on Baker's tier, that's not necessarily a knock on Kyler Murray.
Who would be third on that list? Is it Sam Darnold? Is it Josh Rosen?
Yeah, statistically, it would probably be Josh Rosen. But for like my personal thought processes, I would likely lean towards Sam Darnold. Draft stock does matter. You know, seeing him go third overall, whereas Rosen slipped to 7th, the sentiment was so high on Sam Darnold. So I'd put Darnold 3rd and then Rosen 4th there.
Gotcha. So you mentioned Dwayne Haskins earlier. He seems to be the consensus number 2 quarterback in this draft. I mean, other names are being thrown out there, but it seems like Haskins would be that guy. Would you agree with that?
He is my number 2. I would put him 2nd behind Kyler Murray for these rankings, but I still think, with that being said, I may be a little bit lower on him than others are. And there's good and bad with Haskins, as there is with every quarterback. The good is that like he can put the ball in a bucket from like 50 yards out, because he's crazy accurate. He had 10.3 adjusted yards per attempt last year. If we look at 60 quarterbacks who have been either a first-round pick or are among the top 7 quarterbacks in this year's class, of those 60 quarterbacks, he ranks 11th in adjusted yards per attempt in his final year, so really good ranking there. He also improved as the season went along. That final like 4-game stretch for Haskins was just bonkers. I got to see him in the Big Ten championship game as he whooped up on my Northwestern Wildcats, and he looked awesome there. It was a really good game. I was sad about it, but it was really good, and he did perform well when he faced top 50 pass defenses. So that's all the good for Haskins, but the bad is the experience. Again, and this does matter. He had just 15 games with at least 10 pass attempts in college, which would be the fewest for a first-round pick since 2000. And again, the only other guys to be first-round picks with fewer than 20 games are Mark Sanchez and Mitchell Trubisky. And Sanchez, a flop. Trubisky looked decent this year, but the jury's still out for him for sure. So I think that is a major red flag. So to me, Haskins is not a lock. I would say he is probably worth a top 10 pick, but there is definitely some risk in his profile.
So given those question marks with Haskins, do you think that there's a bigger gap between Murray and Haskins, or Haskins and the rest of the quarterback group?
Yeah, to me, I think it's Murray tier 1, and then tier 2 is like, it's Haskins 2A, and for me, it's Drew Lock 2B. And I think that while I'm lower on Haskins than the consensus, I think I'm higher on Drew Lock, which is weird because like his final season stats are not great, but I think that there are a lot of things that bode well for Haskins, and I think that, or for Lock. And I think that the way I look at these two guys is, which one could better perform in a bad environment, like a bad surrounding situation? Mm-hmm. I would probably pick Haskins there, but if you put, like, let's say Jared Goff, you know, gets Thanos, like he just dissolves from the face of the earth, and the Rams draft a quarterback, I would rather have Drew Lock there with the situation around him, because he has his huge arm, he is crazy athletic, and, you know, he did have middling efficiency numbers this year, but there were a couple of reasons for that. He had more games against top 50 pass defenses than anybody else in this class. 56.5% of his pass attempts came against top 50 pass defenses. Nobody else in the class was higher than 44.2%, and he had to play four of his seven games against those good defenses without Emmanuel Hall, who was his best receiver and this really good player. So he was facing SEC defenses like Georgia and Alabama without his best receiver. So you would expect his numbers to lag quite a bit. But he had a 10.2 adjusted yards per attempt as a junior, his second to last year. He also had at least 10 pass attempts in 47 games, and is coming off his age 22 season. That means that although he is only 6 months older than Dwayne Haskins, he has 32 more games of experience than Haskins, and Locke's junior season was almost as good as Haskins' 2018. So I think that Haskins is the better floor pick. I mentioned red flags, but I think he has the better floor because his accuracy is awesome. But I also love Drew Locke's ceiling because he does things that work out well in the NFL. He throws deep, he can complete quick passes, and he runs. And I think that that, to me, is pretty appealing for his ceiling.
Yeah, you know, one quarterback we haven't talked about yet is Will Greer. A lot of people are becoming higher and higher on him. What worries you about him statistically?
Yeah, I mentioned, mentioned a couple of times that age and experience matter for first round picks, and those are things that look pretty grim for Will Greer. He's coming off his age 23 season, which you understand because he transferred, you know, had stuff like that. But with those, in that age 23 season, he still has just 27 games of experience, and that's not a good combination. There have been eight quarterbacks who have been first round picks coming off their age 22 or older season who have had fewer than 30 games of experience, and only 25% of their qualified seasons have resulted in top 15 finishes in total NEP. Like, that's not a huge bar to set, but only 25% of the time have they been the top 15. Before Carson Wentz, none of those quarterbacks had ever had a top 10 finish in total NEP, much less a top 5. Trubisky also fits in this tier, so maybe he will change that as well, but it's not a good group to be in. We did see Greer play well. He had good numbers, but the level of competition was poor. I mentioned before that that Locke had 56% of his pass attempts against top 50 pass defenses. It was 24% for Will Greer, and Murray was the second lowest at 40%, so a big gap between him and the pack. So I'm not opposed to Will Greer. I would just be opposed to taking him over Murray, Haskins, or Locke, and I think he's likely better suited outside of the first round when the risks associated with him are less concerning.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Are there any quarterbacks in this class that you think just aren't getting enough love in general?
He's starting to get a little bit of love now, but Tyree Jackson, I think, is like what Josh Allen could have been if Josh Allen weren't a first-round pick. Like, Josh right. Allen's really fun. Like, he's super fun. Right. He just shouldn't have been a first-round pick. Tyree Jackson is fun for the same reasons, and he's probably not going to be a first-round pick. He has this, like, insane arm. He has this monster arm. He tested, like, a wide receiver at the combine, basically. He is super athletic, and I think he's, like, 6'7". He's coming off his age 21 season, so he's not super old. And, you know, he wasn't great in Buffalo. His final year adjusted yards per attempt was 7.7, but, you know, in a limited sample in 2017, his AYA was 9.3. So, you know, I think that Tyree Jackson, to me, is similar to Will Greer, where I like him. He does some things pretty well, and I wouldn't take him in the first round, but he is at least very interesting because I love quarterbacks. Same thing I mentioned with Drew Locke. I love quarterbacks who can and are willing to throw deep and who will run with the football and could do so efficiently. So Tyree Jackson, like, if he goes in the second round, I'd be pretty cool with that.
So on the other side of the spectrum, are there any quarterbacks you think are getting too much love?
I don't understand the Daniel Jones love, I guess is the best way to put it. Like, I mean, I guess I just don't really understand why he's getting right. hyped up. And I don't want to, like, bash him. It's not his fault that he's getting love. You know, it's just right. weird that scouts and stuff are so high on him. Because his last year, his adjusted yards per attempt was 6.9, which is not that nice. If you combine the 53 first-round picks with the top seven this year, he ranks 51st out of 60. And if we look at the guys in this year's class, he had the worst adjusted yards per attempt of the top seven guys here. He didn't have any really good seasons where, like, Drew Locke, like, yeah, he wasn't great this year, but he was awesome as a junior. With Daniel Jones, there is no real season to turn to to kind of, you know, justify or to overcome the lack of efficiency this year. He does have a good amount of experience. I think that that is a positive for him. He's not very old either. But I think that the reason people are drawn to Daniel Jones is that he worked with Daniel or with David Cutcliffe. But like, if he worked with this quarterback whisperer and still had bad metrics, I don't really know why it's used as a positive. Like, he had a bad situation around him. Like, his receivers dropped a bunch of balls. Pass blocking wasn't great, but I think that I'm having a hard time finding a justification for being really high on this guy.
Yeah, I totally hear you. But Jim, thanks so much for hopping on and chatting about this year's quarterback class. I'm sure late round podcast listeners were able to learn a lot from it. And if you guys aren't following Jim on Twitter, you can find him at Jim Sonnes. And I'm on there as well, at Late Round QB. I'll have a mailbag show in your ears on Friday, so I'll talk to you then.